Let's take our Bibles for our reading commentary in Lamentations chapter 3. This is a long chapter, and we've broken it up into three parts. So in this reading, I want to read from verse 52 down to verse 66. And this is a prayer of Jeremiah against the enemies that were attacking, even those enemies were of the Lord. Yet we find him praying against them. And I see much in here a type of Christ prayer. A lot of people think, well, Christ was praying for everybody to be saved. No, he prayed for those that the Father had given him. But for the rest, it was condemnation and desolation. He told the Jewish nation as he went to the cross, your house is left to you desolate. He wasn't praying for everybody's salvation. And so here in verse 52, we see a lot of comparisons between Jeremiah, the prophet, and Christ, who was pursued and persecuted. Here Jeremiah says, mine enemies chased me sore like a bird. Notice the words, without cause. And certainly that's what could be said of our Lord Jesus Christ. They sought a cause to kill him, but they could find none other than creating false testimony against his person. And so Jeremiah here is describing one as being chased by a fowler. A fowler was one that went out and tried to catch birds and sell them in the marketplace. And he goes on in verse 53 saying, they have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. And that was literally so. When you go back and read in Jeremiah, there came a time where the king was so angry with him, he cast him into a pit, didn't want to hear him anymore. And yet we can see in our Lord Jesus Christ the pit into which he was cast in order to save his people was truly a pit of condemnation that he bore. He endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. And it was out of that pit that he cried unto his Father, that the Father might deliver him. And he says in verse 54, waters flowed over mine head. Then I said, I am cut off. And that's an interesting term there that describes our Lord Jesus Christ and his death. He was cut off from among the living. It was an execution on the part of God. Here, metaphorically, he's Jeremiah speaking, but Christ literally laid down his life. He was cut off from the land of the living for the sake of that people that he represented. So here Jeremiah says in verse 55, I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Again, he was literally in a pit, in a dungeon. But so it was with our Lord Jesus Christ, who cried unto his Father with tears and supplications and was heard, it says there in Hebrews, in that he feared the Lord. But all of it God had purposed. He said, thou hast heard my voice, hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. I know that Paul, writing to the Romans there in Romans 8:26, said that the Spirit makes intercession on behalf of God's children with groanings that cannot be uttered. And even here, he said, thou hast heard my voice, hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Someone said that if you cannot speak, then weep. Because tears also have a voice. And if you cannot weep, sigh. And a storm of sighs are much like a shower of tears. And if you cannot sigh, the word that's used here is yet breathe. Sometimes our cries unto the Lord are just a breath. It's not the words we utter, but our groanings that cannot be uttered. And here, Jeremiah's speaking as the Lord God, his Lord God, even knowing his breathing. It's much like a mother in the middle of the night listening for the breath of her baby. And so it is with God, for Christ's sake. But that's how our Lord would have been heard. He was heard of his Father in the depths of his suffering. And therefore, in verses 57 down to 63, we see how Jeremiah is thankful and confident in what the Lord's doing, even though all around him was destruction. He lived through the destruction of Jerusalem and that temple. But he says here in verse 57, "Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not." How many times did our Lord Jesus say that to his disciples? Fear not, whether in the storm or in the face of the enemy. And certainly, we know that our Lord Jesus Christ did not fear what men would do unto him, and yet his soul was troubled. We see that in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was crying unto his Father and saying that even if it were possible that that cup be removed from him, yet not my will but thine be done. He was declaring to his Father he had no desire to have that cup removed. But in the face of it, we can't even imagine what it was for him, the just, to bear the sin of the unjust. And so we see even our Lord's example, as he did not fear, so he tells his disciples not to fear. O Lord, this is important here, verse 58. Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. When Christ was on this earth, he was here as the representative of a people that God had purposed to save. And even though they sought his life without cause, put him to death, yet here the pleadings of Jeremiah reflect how it is our Lord Jesus Christ would have looked to his Father, that his Father plead his cause and redeem his life. In other words, raise him up again once that work was completed. I don't know about you, but I find comfort in reading these in times of distress and turmoil. Because if Christ is our representative, then that means that he has already pled our cause. And scriptures say he ever lives to intercede on behalf of those that for whom he paid the debt. He says, O Lord, verse 59, thou hast seen my wrong, judge thou my cause. Just like Jeremiah's commending his lot to the Lord, we read there concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and Peter. That's how he described it. He answered not those that sought to bring reproach upon him, but he commended his righteous soul unto the Father, unto him who judges righteously, is the way it's put. So a lot of parallels here between Jeremiah and our Lord. He says, thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. Think of those that put Christ on the cross. Yes, all the while they were accomplishing their will, and it was by their evil imaginations that they crucified and slew him. Yet Peter says there in Acts it was according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. I believe we can face any situation knowing that there's nothing that takes place or happens by chance. That even in the face of the worst enemy, it's the Lord directing even what people say or do against any of his children. And we have the example of Christ himself. He says in verse 61, thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imaginations against me. Twice it's repeated. Whenever in Scripture you see it one time, it would be sufficient, but when it's repeated twice, we can't even begin to fathom the evil in the heart of sinners other than knowing what evil's in our heart, but for the grace of God. But how the Lord preserves his own against all of the reproach and evil imaginations of this wicked world against God. Remember, it's primarily against God. They may bring reproach on us as his children, but it's because they can't get their hands on Christ. He's seated in the heavenly. So they attack the body. I've often said that in trouble, as long as the head's out of the water, you're safe. You can't drown. You can go all the way up to the chin, if you will, under, and you won't drown. It's when the head is underwater that there's danger. Well, our head is not underwater. He came, lived, died, and rose again and set it on high. So think about that the next time when afflictions and reproaches seem to be unbearable. The Lord not only knows these things when it says, "Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord," he directs it. "The lips of those that rose up against me and their device against me all the day." So even as Jeremiah is bringing his complaint before the Lord, their slander of the grossest kind, that's what the Lord said there in Matthew 5, that if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. "So persecuted they the prophets which were before you. But happy are ye when you suffer reproach for his name's sake, for his righteousness' sake." That's really what this is all about. What is God's righteousness? It's that which Christ earned and established, and God imputed to the account of that particular people. And for that, people are offended, because you won't give any credit to their righteousness. Isaiah said all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. He didn't even say all our sin, all our righteousness. But here Jeremiah says, "Behold, they're sitting and they're rising up. I am their music." That word music there is in the sense of a taunting song. Remember when you were kids and other kids would come up with songs about you? I know we'd sing that little thing, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me." But in reality, it was hurting. Imagine here, this is what Jeremiah is talking about. Such was his demise that there were mocking, taunting songs that were used to express derision and contempt. That's what they did with our Lord Jesus Christ when he told those gathered in the synagogue there after the scripture reading that he read, and they were all taken up with how he had read it and had said, "This day this is fulfilled in your ears." And they said, "How gracious are those words?" And he said, "A day's coming when you'll say," and that was a taunting song, "Physician, heal thyself." And that's what they said at the cross. If he saved others, let him save himself. Well, thankfully, the Lord didn't come down off that cross. It was necessary that he suffer unto death. Blood shed unto death. Without the shedding of blood, that shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And here's the part where some wonder, well, how is it that Jeremiah could pray this way? But again, it parallels how our Lord would have prayed for those that the Father didn't give him. Because he says, verse 64, "Render unto them a recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands." Now stop and think about it. All the people today that you know of, they keep talking about their works and how when they stand before God one day, they pray that their good works will outweigh their bad. They're always talking about their works, 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 works. Zealous, like Paul said, they have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. Well, who's to pity them then when the Lord says, "Okay, you want to be judged according to your works? Let's have at it." And that's why in Revelation, when that scroll is opened, in whose names are written those that have clung to their works all their lifetime, and the Lord says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, who's going to plead their cause? That's what Jeremiah is saying here. Render unto them according to their works, the works of their hands. I know this, I don't want to be judged according to the works of my hands. I pray that when Christ paid the debt, it was his work, the work of his hands, that was my work and my place. But here he says, give them sorrow of heart, thy curse unto them. So this clearly shows a distinction. Jeremiah's not praying for everybody to be delivered or redeemed. He knew there was a particular people like himself, but all the rest, the Lord's will and judgment be done. Persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of the Lord. That's because apart from Christ paying the debt, God's wrath abides upon all others. And however a person lives, they'll live all their life under that wrath, and they'll die under that wrath. They're vessels of wrath. And so when he says here that their curse be upon them and persecute and what? Destroy them. When those Pharisees crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, what did they cry? They said, his blood be upon us and on our children. If you wonder today why the Jewish nation over the years, even since the cross, has continued to suffer contempt and reproach, they prayed it. Their representatives prayed it. All the way through Hitler, destroying all those Jews, as atrocious as it was, that was the Lord executing his justice and righteousness. And if there's a remnant today among the Jews, it's only for one reason. Paul declared it. God will never cast off those that he has foreknown. But they're not all Israel that are of Israel. If you go over there today, they're God haters. You stand on a street corner today and tell a crowd that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah of the Scriptures, they'll arrest you. That's hated to this day. But that's that blood be upon us and our children. Just as they persecuted and sought to destroy our Lord Jesus Christ. When they put him on the cross and crucified him, they thought they had done away with him. But they didn't know the third day he's rising again, where he lives and reigns today. So this is a prayer that Jeremiah prays through the opposition, through the destruction of the city and the temple that he lived through. But he gives all the glory and praise unto God. Gracious Father, thank you for your word, and how undeserving we are even to read it. And I thank you that your Spirit does give light, that we might see how this all glorifies you and your Son and his work accomplished. And that they did not do one thing more or less to Jeremiah, or one thing more or less to your dear Son, our Savior, than what you ordained and you purposed. And that you're faithful to that work accomplished. I pray that as we continue our time of worship, that indeed our hearts would be smitten for our own wretchedness and who we are, but at the same time delighted to know that it's for sinners that Christ came into this world. And thank you for those that he has indeed redeemed. And we give you the praise in his precious name. Amen.